Welcome to Lugano Pickles United Online Church on the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, 30th of August 2020. I'm Irung Kim, the minister of LPUC. Later in the service, Lynn is going to read the Bible, Carrie to lead prayer for others. Because of being worshipped online in these strange and troubled times, we cannot meet friends and fellow church members in person at church. As I lead this service, I'm thinking of all members of LPUC. Even you can see their name text behind of me. And I would encourage you to take time to think of our congregation members. Then you may imagine that they are gathered around you today in your home. Remember, we are not alone. We are just apart. In this week's Bible reading, Exodus 3, God said to Moses, "Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground." As you get ready to worship God, let's take off your shoes and my shoes, if you don't mind. Then you may light a candle if you have. Come, let us worship God together by singing the first song, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." If you worship alone in your place, humming or listening to, if you worship with others. What do you think of this flower arrangement done by Grace? It is gorgeous, elegant, and stunning, isn't it?
Thank you.
I was told that there are specific meanings on these flower arrangements. And I thought that, you know, it would be a great idea to invite Grace actually to explain about this meaning. And so, Grace, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us about the meaning of this flower arrangement.
Okay. Well, first of all, the centre part of the arrangement represents the church today. But the rest is what we are praying for. The church is the people of God that is to get together to worship, pray, have fellowship, serve one another. The red represents the love and support the minister's wife gives to the husband and the positive, stimulating people they are to the church congregation. The yellow relates to the music of the church that lightens our life, stimulates us and cheers our hearts. The white makes us think of the babies, the little children of the church, and the innocence of them. They are the coming future of the church, so how important are they? We can't do without them. Green represents cheerfulness of our wonderful people who serve God and His church by giving their time and talents. Where would we be without them? The meaning of grey is humbleness, humility, meekness, and it describes many in our congregation of all ages. But the long stem greens remind us of the years our senior members of the church, they have endeavoured to support young people and bind us together with love and peace. We need them for their wisdom and their experiences of life, and also we can learn such a lot from them. The oasis is the unseen guest, Jesus Christ, who feeds us the water of life. And the dove is known as a symbol of the Holy Spirit as well as a general symbol for peace, purity and new beginnings. When young and old, men and women, all generations of the congregation are to worship, pray, serve together in the name of the Christ, the Holy Spirit would empower us to be witness for Christ.
Thank you for your explanation, Grace. What a meaning it is.
Many thanks. Yes. God has given me that in life.
Today's Bible reading is from Exodus chapter 3 verses 1 to 15, Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Amen.
Today we are going to talk about Moses' excuses when he was called by God. I was wondering how you pictured the image of Moses in your mind. I guess the Moses many of you may picture is the Charlton Heston Moses, the one who leads his people out of Egypt, who parts the Red Sea and gives commands. But the Moses we hear and see in today's scripture reading is different. Not the heroic, in a bigger than life character. You read the story of Moses in Midian. They're part of the text for today, that wonderful narrative of Moses. And you get the impression that Moses tending sheep, hiding there, hoping that God won't find him and will leave him alone. He ought to be doing something else with his life. But he's happy there in Midian. He works for his father-in-law, Jethro. He married the boss's daughter. They have two sons. One day Moses will inherit the farm. One day it will all be his and he will settle back. It is such a wonderful life. The only problem was that burning bush. It changed everything. The story of the burning bush is central to the Exodus story, but we can get too preoccupied with the burning bush. When most people read this story, they are attracted to the details of the burning bush. Some would even want to debate the kind of bush it was. But that misses the point. Some would think that is the miracle. I mean, how can a bush be inflamed and not burn up? They focus on that. I read some commentators say, you know, there is a bush out there in the Sinai desert that in the springtime has red flowers on it. Just at the right time of the day when the sun is setting. Or some say, it was all in his head, or it was sensory deprivation. That is nonsense. The real miracle was not that a bush was on fire, but that God put a fire on the Moses, who, like you and me, was just trying to stay the course just right up to retirement. Don't get distracted. Mind your own business. So the first thing that I want you to notice is that it didn't just happen out of the blue. It was the resolution of something that had been bothering Moses for many, many years. In fact, what happened at the burning bush in Midian started in Egypt. Notice what had happened to Moses for 40 years before he was ready to deliver Israel. He was arrogant and self-assured. Moses, overcome with the rage at the injustice of this act upon a Jew, and for the first time, identifying with his own people, struck an Egyptian god and delivered one of the Jews from persecution. I guess he thought he could deliver Israel by himself. But 40 years later, when God speaks to him, he begins to back away. He's very reluctant. The interchange between God and Moses doesn't end there in verse 15 where we closed our scripture lesson. It goes on as Moses offers excuse after excuse. Let's look at those excuses. Listen to his first excuse in Exodus 3:11. What he says is, I'm not qualified to do this. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm not qualified to do this kind of a work. We know the feeling, don't we? Moses felt personally inferior for such a holy and difficult task. The answer God gives to him in verse 12 is, you don't have to be. God will use you as you are. God just needs somebody to go, somebody to be there, just show up. The fact is, God can use anybody. Most of the people God uses, according to the Bible, are nobodies. They are all unlikely heroes. The most important qualification for being a hero is just show up. The second excuse is in verse 13. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Moses felt he had no answer or message to give to the Israelites. And isn't that true with us? We don't think we know enough, or that we have experienced enough, or that we feel deeply enough. We just don't think we have anything to say. The other excuse is found actually in the chapter 4, verse 10. It says, I cannot make a speech. I'm not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. When we are urged to witness, to share the faith, we insist that we are not eloquent enough. We cannot talk easily to others. God has an answer to that excuse in verse 11. He says, I'll give you the words. If that doesn't work, use Aaron, your brother, or silver tongue. Let him make the speeches. You do the more important thing. Just show up. Just be there. What happened? So Moses went back to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh, leaving behind the quiet, secure life in Midian. He never went back to it instantly. Moses became the liberator of his people. Moses freed the slaves in Egypt and led them to freedom. Now, having studied those excuses of Moses, there are two truths that we can learn from this reluctant prophet. The first truth is this. In the Christian life, in our response to God and our relationship with God, most of us do not arrogantly want for too much. We embarrassedly settle for too little. So we are onlookers to God's activity in history, spectators and recipients, but not actors and participants. Have we forgotten the words of Jesus, one of the most amazing words in the Bible? Listen to Jesus, John 14:12. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. But there is a second lesson here as well. That lesson is this. Only when we know we cannot do it, can we do it by the grace and power of God. The bottom line of all this was that Moses was saying to God, "Who am I? I cannot do what you are asking me to do." That's the point to which God wants to bring us. That's His way of bringing us to the place where we know we are completely dependent upon Him. It happened with David. David could slay a giant, but God put him into the caves and dens of the earth. He was hunted like a bird, and he found out how weak he was. Then God made him a king. That was the case with Elijah. He was the prophet, brave enough to walk right into the camp of Ahab and Jezebel and tell them that there shall not be dew or nor rain these years, but according to my word. But Elijah was not as brave as he seemed. God sent him into the desert for his training. Elijah drank from a brook, and there was a drought that caused the brook to dry up, and Elijah got the lesson. Then you remember Elijah spent some time eating out of an empty flour barrel. The flour barrel was empty, but every day just enough would be there to sustain him. He found out that he was nothing and God was everything, and when he realized this, God used the prophet of Baal and bring down fire from heaven. Paul lamented also over a long period of time until he could come to the place where he said, "Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's a puzzling paradox. But what God was teaching Moses, He wants to teach us. Only when we know we cannot do it, can we do it by the grace and power of God. God continues to act in people's lives in the same way. Let me ask you, what if God calls you to be part of His mission? What if God calls you to do a specific thing? Remember that all those Moses' excuses didn't really matter. If God calls you to do something, God will make it possible for you to do it. And also remember this. It can happen to anyone and it can happen anytime. Life isn't over when you have reached the goal you set for your life. Life isn't over when you attain a certain comfort and security in this life. Life isn't over at a certain age. What God may say to you is, "I have seen the suffering, pain, hardship of my people. I have seen the vision of a better world. I have seen what your life can really be like. Now go." So, what you have to do is to respond to God's call with a fervent yes, trusting in God's presence and guidance. Go forth to serve joyfully and confidently in God's word. Amen. Let us sing, hum or listen to the second song, "You Never Let Go."
When I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? troubles, but until that day comes, we'll get to know you here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me,
good morning. My name's Kerry. I'm leading the prayers for others this morning. Dear Father God, as we gather to praise and worship you today, we thank you for your steadfast love and support. We offer thanks for the life of our friend Elizabeth Russell, and we pray for comfort and peace for her grieving family at this time of loss. Also in need of your healing and strength, we pray for Ruth and Joan, who are having breathing problems. They are being treated in hospital, so we pray fervently for the people who are caring for them to have wisdom as they do their jobs. Lord, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. There are concerning outbreaks of unrest, accidents on the roads, and many natural disasters worldwide. Please bring calm, patience and kindness to places where people are enduring loss of income, illness or abuse. Help HSC students to do their best with studies and please give them peace as their final exams approach. We also pray for strength for many people who are giving of their time and efforts to help others at this time. All levels of government, first responders, transport workers and hospitality workers are much needed in our community. Finally, Lord, we prayerfully remember our elderly friends who miss being able to see familiar people and places. Please assure them of your love and peace. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are announcements for today. Among LPUC members, there were several birthdays during the last week. One of Ellen's grandsons, Kai, on the 24th, Mark, 27th, and Keith, 30th, which is today. Happy birthday, Kai, Mark, and Keith. If I miss yours, then happy birthday to all of you. There will be another virtual morning tea today after this online church. Zoom will be opened from 11 a.m. for 11:15 meeting, so see you soon. For your information, some of the young families of our church are having barbecue this Sunday today from 11 a.m. at Ever Park in Lugano. So all of you are welcome to join with them after this online church or even after Zoom. So probably I would see you there. As it was announced last Sunday, we won't return to church yet. The church council will continue to monitor the ongoing coronavirus situation and let you know any updates immediately. Please continue to pray for the church council and especially for an end of this pandemic. If you need any pastoral concerns or support, please talk with your pastoral care leader or talk to me on my telephone number and mobile number on the bottom of the screen. This is an end of today's online church. If you are willing to get connected with us or simply having any question or inquiry, please contact me via email or phone. Now as we conclude this service, we may say to each other, go in peace. God loves you and I love you. This may be done by going around the circle or with each member of the family saying it to every other member of the family, saying, go in peace. God loves you and I love you. If you are alone to watch this online church, then you may say yourself, go in peace. God loves me. I love you, God. Thank you for your participation in today's online church. And thank you for all those people who took part of this online church. Hope you have a very blessed day and very blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries. Me.